What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host. It is Tuesday, Pi Day, Steph Curry's birthday, March 14th, 2017, man. Good night last night. Interesting little slate. People making money for sure, no question. We got a nice little five-game slate, but it could be reduced to a three-game slate today. So in the next hour, we will preview the night to come in the NBA. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. We'll talk birthday narratives. We'll talk weather. We'll talk everything. I mean, it's just kind of crazy how much we got going on right now with this slate. I mean, there's just kind of... There's a lot to consider here. I mean, you know, a five-game slate in general, you want to be really careful, right? You want to make sure that you're targeting the right plays, you're doing the right things. But then at the same time, you know, we've got a nor'easter crushing in New York, basically, and New York, there's two games in New York tonight. We got a Brooklyn game and a Knicks game, both at home. Both are juicy matchups, interesting matchups for sure, but then you're going to reduce this slate. There's already been a hockey game postponed in the Northeast, so... In the state of New York, state of emergency right now. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 49% chance that these games are played, to be completely honest with you. Both teams I know have traveled. They're already there. You know, they probably anticipate the weather. They didn't travel last night. They traveled probably yesterday to get there. So they're in New York. You know, it's just a question of whether or not the highways and stuff like that are open for fans to travel, for the teams to travel, for television stuff. The NBA is probably all over it, talking about it right now, what they need to consider. But it's going to be snowing and blizzarding basically until 3 or 4 o'clock up there. So I don't know. We're going to be talking about a five-game slate to start. But we could be dealing with a three-game slate. So I've taken that into consideration for you guys tonight. So before we get into the breakdown and the players that we're targeting on the slate upcoming, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. All right. So, you know, last night, real nice little slate. Worked out well for a lot of people. You know, it was kind of one of those, it was interesting. If you were on the right studs, you were fine. If you were on, there was three or four plays that if you had one or two of them, you were okay. Like if you were on Rubio, you were good. If you were on Elfrid Payton, had a great game at the end of the night, you were good. If you were on Jimmy, you were probably good. On the show, we missed a couple of those. And, you know, hey, that's on me. I just overlooked a couple of these plays. You know, and if we remember, we started with Kemba and D'Angelo Russell. Well, D'Angelo Russell gets moved to the bench for Jordan Clarkson. Ultimately, that LA-Denver game turns into a blowout, so Russell really doesn't produce. A little bit of a bummer there. Kemba did really nice, though, put up 38. You know, not quite 4X. I thought for sure we'd get 40, anywhere between, 38 to 45. Okay, fine. We got the end of that, bottom of that. It would be nice to get a couple extra points there, but what can you do? Originally on Evan Fournier, but, went to Gary Harris just because I liked the matchup a little bit more. Felt like there was a little bit more usage in place for him, but Fournier had a solid game as well. You know, scored 21 points there. Didn't kill you, didn't blow you out of the water, but did well, in that game. Of course, Jeremy Lamb blew up, owned a massive percentage here. You had to be on Jeremy Lamb. You know, I said this about that guy, right? Like if Nick Batum is out, Jeremy Lamb is a basketball player. He's a bucket getter. He wants to go score. Former UConn teammate of Kemba, and dude likes to have the basketball in his hands. He scored 26 points. He hit 5X in the first half, so everything after that was gravy. Brandon Ingram suffered the blowout as well, foul trouble. I got on Jimmy Butler, and I'll explain the pivots that I made. Jokic suffered the fourth quarter blowout as well, had 35 points going into the fourth quarter. You're absolutely thrilled about that, but the Lakers are brutal right now. They can't do anything. Got on David Lee and then Vooch. Vooch had a great game, 45 points. I was really, really pleased with that. I pivoted to him off of Gasol just because I saw more upside in the total, and I saw more upside in the game pace-wise, and just kind of it felt like a good more low-owned play at the end of the night, a little bit more of a late hammer. That was kind of my thinking too. I wanted a little bit more ownership on those late games. Vooch played really well compared to Gasol, and that we talked about how he was a really solid pivot, same range of outcomes as Gasol. He ends up outscoring Gasol pretty heavily, so that was nice. But the biggest move that I made, really this was a lot of the same core that we talked about on the podcast. The biggest move that I made was I wasn't really comfortable with Serge Ibaka. I just didn't really love the matchup with Dallas pace down. I said, you know what? Even though Serge has been playing well, that's just not money well spent at 6,400. Let me get off of Serge Ibaka, and I went down to David Lee. I went down to Nikola Vucevic, and the money that I saved there by getting off of Ibaka and Gasol allowed me to go up to Jimmy. Now, I almost had an anxiety attack doing it, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to get ownership leverage here. I know he has a higher ceiling than Wiggins in this situation. So I took a risk. I took a calculated risk there in getting to Jimmy, and he bounced back in a major way and played a great game. That game stayed competitive all the way down the stretch, and Jimmy did really well. He ended up with 52. So, personally, did pretty well for myself. A couple of quick changes here and there, and you make those literally three changes to the lineup. It was Harris over Fournier. It was Jimmy over four changes. Jimmy over Wiggins and Vooch over Gasol and David Lee. It worked out really well. For me, I think it could have gone better. The thing that I was frustrated by was not acknowledging Rubio's recent trends at home, Karl Anthony Towns' recent trends at home. That I thought was disappointing for sure. I wasn't disappointed too much, but I just. The data was there, and you have to pay attention to it. And it's interesting. I was talking to some guys on Twitter today, and they say, oh, God, Kawhi was a bad play. I don't know why I went with Kawhi. Kawhi was not a bad play. It wasn't a bad play at all, And Marc Gasol, not a bad play. But you take some calculated risks by going to Jimmy or going to Jimmy and going to Vucevic, who probably will have lower ownership, who probably are a little bit less safe. Their range of outcomes, though, very similar to those other guys. And sometimes those calculated risks pay off, and sometimes they come back and bite you in the ass. And that's the reality. You take chances here and there in DFS, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. So, I think it was a good night. Those 8-game slates are very interesting. You have a couple plays here and there that you want to be on. Every once in a while, there are guys who just absolutely outperform value and totally crush, and you need to be on those guys in order to stay in the money. But anyhow, let's go ahead and dive into the games tonight. Okay, like I said, 5-game slate, but we could be looking at 3 games because we have those 2 games in New York. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Detroit at Cleveland, 215 total. Cleveland favored by 7 at home. This is a little bit of a rematch here. Back-to-back, they played last week, and of course Detroit beats them down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Tight game here. LeBron goes for 60 in Detroit. We remember that, but I don't think that LeBron's going to get fooled again, especially not at home where the Cavs are much better. Injury news here. We're keeping an eye on Tobias Harris for the Pistons. That's actually a pretty big deal. Harris does a pretty good job defensively for the Pistons. So, definitely some minutes that are going to be lost there. Look for John Lohr to take a lot of those minutes and Stanley Johnson as well. If we get no Tobias Harris, then John Lohr and Stanley Johnson could be in the mix for sure. And then on the Cleveland side of the ball, Kyle Korver He's got a foot thing. I don't really know necessarily how much that interests me or affects me necessarily. I mean, you know, maybe we get more backcourt production from a guy like a guy like Kyrie, but I don't know, Kyrie at 9-3 when you have such a loaded point guard slate tonight, this is really not really necessary. OKC at Brooklyn. This game, of course, in jeopardy because of weather. We have to be careful about this. And just so you guys know, if you leave these guys in your lineups who have these weather concerns, and this game gets canceled or postponed, you take a zero for that spot. You don't get refunded at all. Anytime that there's a postponed game and you have one of these players in your lineups, you take a zero. FanDuel has it printed on their website, on the app. It's happened to me before. It's one of those things. So, you know, I think we'll get news by the afternoon whether or not this game is going to happen. We'll get news by shoot-around, honestly, because if they don't go to shoot-around, then they're not going to play the game. And there's hockey games that are already being called off. So I don't really know if we're going to get these games, to be honest with you. But, I mean, we've got Russ against the Nets. Oh, my God. 224 total. Oklahoma favored by 6. Only injuries that we are concerned about is Taj Gibson. Don't care. Russell Westbrook against the Nets. I mean, yeah, guys, this is not hard math. I mean, geez, we freaking roster Jeff Teague against the Nets. You know, we'll roster anybody against the Nets. I talked up Yogi Ferrell against the Nets. You mean the Russell Westbrook against the Nets? Are you kidding me? God, it's like the easiest DFS decision you've made all year. Indiana at New York, almost as easy as Nurk versus the 76ers. Indiana at New York, 210 total here. Pacers favored by 3 on the road. The Knicks playing, they play terrible defense. Maybe we could get some Pacers. But again, you know, I mean, this game's going to be canceled. There's a really good chance. I'm saying less than 50-50 that they play these games, guys. I don't know. But keep your eye on Twitter. Keep your eye on the phone. Keep your eye on the news. I'm sure we'll know sooner rather than later. It's a disaster out there for people. 2 feet of snow. And lots of rain and sleet. I just crappy situation. Miles Turner has a game time tag, but he'll likely play. He's played. He hasn't sat out anything, but we'll keep an eye on that. Nothing really else to worry about from an injury perspective here. Should be a competitive game. These teams have seen each other quite a bit this year, so you know we can kind of target where we know guys will produce. Guys like Paul George have a good history in this matchup. Miles Turner has a good history in this matchup. Courtney Lee getting a lot more production of late. So we have some targets in that game for sure. Portland at New Orleans, 217 total here. The Pelicans favored by 4 at home, which, you know, indicates to me that Vegas thinks this one's going to be tight. That's just home court advantage for New Orleans right there. Those 3 points, 3.5. It was 3.5 at one point. That's just home court. Some injuries, though, to be concerned about here and some interesting rotation pieces to think about. Obviously on the Portland side of the ball, we've got kind of a lack of depth at the forward position, you know. No Ed Davis, no Evan Turner. So you've obviously got your Mo Harklesses and your Al-Farouq Aminus that you're firing up. You're happy about that. And then on the New Orleans side of the ball, interesting changes in rotation. You've got some interesting bench guys coming in, getting a lot of production of late. I think this is going to be one of the lower owned games of the night. Absolutely stackable for GPP purposes. Because it's going to be close and it's going to be competitive and there's a lot of really good fantasy assets. You know, I mean, get yourself a little Portland game stack going in Portland, New Orleans game stack and you're going to have lower owned players than a lot of folks. Philly at Golden State, 219 total here. Golden State favored by 17 coming off the 3-game losing streak. The Andre Iguodala blow up, the resting against the Spurs, the whole losing the first seed. I mean, geez Louise, not all is well in Oakland. The Warriors looking human. You got to expect to bounce back here against a bad 76ers team. I mean, they handled this team in Philadelphia not long ago. And they're finally back home. Their big four are rested. Well, except, you know, KD's not in there, but the big three plus Iggy are rested. And so many injuries for the 76ers here. Just depleted, absolutely depleted. You know, Bob Cove has been ruled out with the knee. Jared Bayless, you know, we've got basically got, and the backcourt, you've got TJ McConnell, Sergio Rodriguez at point, but then you've got Gerald Henderson, Timothy Luau Cabarro, and what's his name? Stauskas. That's it. And then in the front court, it's Sarge, Holmes, and Okafor. So, I mean, you got a really tight rotation in Philadelphia just because of injuries. So, definitely some value to target there in a pace-up situation. And, of course, on the opposite side of the ball, it's Steph Curry's birthday. Ooh, interesting. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. I already started tweeting about it. But it is something to think about. Mr. Curry coming off of major rest at home on his birthday. You gonna buy it? I don't know. You might have to, guys. You might have to. All right. So that's where we're at right now. Okay. That's where we're at. Those five games. But it, like I said, you know, we're looking at possibly a 3-game slate. Okay. Oh, by the way, just got news. Taj Gibson is slated to start on Tuesday, which is an interesting note for a lot of reasons. That means that they're pushing rosters out. They're pushing rosters out. So, oh, wow. Just got another push notification on my phone. This is completely related to NBA DFS. Eddie Lacy going to the Seahawks. Jeez Louise. Eddie Lacy on the Seahawks? Dang, you got Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls on the Seahawks? They are going to hammer people. Wow. That's kind of exciting. Who the hell are the Packers going to sign? They already had... Anyway, all right. You heard it here first. Eddie Lacy to the Seahawks. Guys, NFL is not even close. Sorry, I shouldn't talk about the NFL right now. Anyway, all right. So like I said, 2 games that are going to be possibly postponed. Oklahoma City at Brooklyn and Indy at New York. Who knows? Now that I see this report that Gibson is going to start, that means that maybe they're a shoot-around. Maybe there's media there and they're just kind of, you know, they're going to say, hey, there's not going to be any fans here, but if there's TV crews here and there's teams here, let's play. Let's just make sure we don't get this delayed. You know, let's just everybody go safely back and forth between the hotel and the stadium. I have no idea. I have no idea. They may just do that just to get it out of the way so they don't have any postponements. But, 5-game slate. Or 3-game slate. So keep your eye on that. But definitely some interesting fantasy assets in all of these games. No question about it. Tons of value, tons of studs. So let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown. Okay, so we're going to go through the lock and load segment here. We'll sort through the studs. We want to figure out who we like at the top of the slate. You know, I've mentioned this relative position value, relative cost value. If you're investing in a certain player, are you going to get a high quality outcome from that investment? And when you're comparing a 10K player to a 10K player or an 11K player to an 11K player, are you going to get, where are you going to be able to maximize your dollar per point value across that? And you don't just compare them to other point guards or other small forwards, you compare them across to each other. So at point guard, obviously it's stuff. It's Russell Westbrook. He's 13.4. He's got a 115-point implied total, plus 4 in pace, best DVP situation on the slate, and he's the best point guard in the league. I mean, there's no reason to fade. I mean, now that could be debated, but he's the best statistical point guard in the league. No reason to fade them if they play. I mean, he's chasing 2 things right now, and it's very clear. He's chasing triple-doubles for the MVP race, and he's chasing a better seed in the playoffs. Guys, we have to keep our eye on teams that are chasing playoff spots and why they're playing for what they're playing, because there's a lot of teams that may be slowing it down and settling into their seeds, and there's a lot of teams that are still scrapping for a couple games here and there to try and make sure that their seed is what they want it to be. And you better believe that the Thunder are way more interested in the 5 seed than they are in the 6 seed. The 6 seed means that they play Houston in the first round. The 5 seed means they play the Jazz. Are you kidding me? It is a totally different game. They are almost split on the season with the Jazz, and they have really struggled with the Rockets. You don't want to play the Rockets in the playoffs. You kidding me? And especially if they have hot home court advantage, I'd much rather take the Jazz in this situation. They've proved they can't really guard Russ. So you better believe they are fighting for the three-game jump over the Clips. Every single W counts for them. So they're going to go get this win against Brooklyn, no question in my mind. Earlier this season, Russ had 30, 10, and 13 against the Nets. I mean, 60 points is his floor in this situation, guys. I mean, I hate to say, you know, feel like I'm going to jinx it, but 60 points is the floor in this situation. I don't see any reason you go away from Steph Curry, or excuse me, away from Russell Westbrook here. Now, Steph has the birthday narrative, okay? Birthday boy. Fine. You love players on their birthday because they're selfish, but that was an overly simplified, rude way to say that. Anyway, but they... It's all about me. I'm a million-dollar athlete, and it's my birthday. Yay! Everybody celebrate me and look at me. My birthday usually involves me getting a little bit too drunk and eating something off of a grill. Not have 40,000 people screaming my name while I, you know, complete amazing athletic feats. But anyway, Steph, it's more important than the birthday narrative is that he's actually, okay, they're coming home. One, he's better at home. He averages 42 points at home on the season. He's coming off of a massive rest. He hasn't played since Friday. Okay, that's 4 days. 3 days. 3 days of rest. Plus today, 4 days. 4 days of rest, okay? And he is 45 points. He's averaged 45 points on 2-plus days of rest this season. Now, the other thing is that he's never scored less than 43 FanDuel points on his birthday. Josh Fern did the research, look back in the game logs here. Never scored less than 43 points on his birthday. And they need a win. It lines up for a floor of 42 points, which is about 4x. And then obviously there's a ceiling opportunity here because he's got the fresh legs and he's got a great matchup. You know, I just see a good night for him. He's at 10-1, if I remember correctly. He's at 10-1, which is a reasonable price, 50 points. Okay, that's nice. You know, take that 50 points and you save $1,000 over LeBron. So I think that there's a really good chance that we get Steph at 5X. Now, I realize the history lately. He's been shooting really poorly. He's been playing badly, but there is a bounce back somewhere in this future. There is, just like Jimmy Butler, there is a positive regression here, and as much as it may make you nervous to roster him, there is regression in his future somewhere. This is still Steph Curry 2016 MVP, no question. So, I mean, let's not sleep on him too much. I think the pivot, though, is pretty easy. It's Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard against Drew Holiday. Love that. I like Dame. We like Dame on the road. We like Dame in a competitive game. They need his scoring against Boogie in the Brow. I think Damian Lillard shows up tonight at 8-8. You could do worse than Damian Lillard right there. He'll come lower owned than both of those guys, too. Dame is in a really good spot. I like that quite a bit. I'm not really doing Kyrie. I mean, I could see Kyrie doing good work against Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith. But that price is too much to pay for a guy who really hasn't shown a ton of upside of late. You know, you kind of, every once in a while, you get upside from Kyrie, and it's a little bit too risky for me lately. I think at shooting guard, we're looking at Clay. We've got CJ McCollum, you know, and I don't mind CJ McCollum at all in this situation. I think he's really a good option, and if you prefer CJ to Clay, then go for it. But Clay at 7-2 has been really hot lately. He's scored almost 40 in his last two games, 40 FanDuel points. I like the fact that he's getting a couple additional rebounds every game. He's had 6 rebounds in the last two games. I think that's really nice. And he's got really high numbers of attempts. Since KD has gone down, he is just firing the ball. I mean, he's had highs of 25 shots. Just the last two, he's had 22 attempts and 23 attempts in the last couple games. And that's a lot of shots for a guy who can get really hot and is a good scorer. I mean, 22 attempts, are you kidding me? That's huge volume. So I love the volume there. I like the fact that he's trying to get this team out of a slump. He's at home. He's firing the ball. The price is rising. 7.2 is very reasonable. If he gets above 7.5, then I'm going to start to really pause. But 7.2, asking him to get you 36 points, that's not crazy for Klay Thompson. So, you know, 27th ranked DVP to the position at Philadelphia, the highest total on the night. I like this quite a bit. At small forward, it's LeBron at 11-2. He's at home. It's LeBron. It's not hard, okay? Dude, Cavs are coming off a rough patch as well. You talk about the Warriors, but the Cavs are coming off a rough patch also. They lost to Detroit on the road. They almost lost to the Magic over the weekend, and then they lose to Houston on Sunday. I mean, they need this win at home. They don't want to drop in the standings to the Wizards or the Celtics, who are both charging right on their heels, only two or three games back. That's the difference between Bucks and Pistons. Now, I know that's not the end of the world for them necessarily. They can handle the Bucks in a series. They can handle the Pistons in a series. But I have to think that they would much rather play a young Bucks team where they have a really good history against, you know, Giannis as a young gun, rather than a Pistons team that has, you know, some more experienced pieces. I don't know, personally. That's my thinking. You know, Bron has seen 38 to 36 minutes very consistently in the last five. He's averaged 56 in the last five, and that is exactly 5X, my friends. There's no reason to get too cute. You can absolutely build around LeBron tonight, just like you can build around Steph. There's no reason to think twice about LeBron in this situation. He will be absolutely rock solid at home against the Pistons, so don't have to worry about that. Now, there's a couple options down here at power forward and center. If you want some cheaper options, if you want some differentiation in your lineups, I think we got to look at Anthony Davis at 11-5. You know, Davis is still the man in New Orleans. Massive performances in the last couple games. He has a nice home matchup with the Blazers. So they are improving in the front court. I think that gives me a little bit of pause. You know, Nurkic has helped them rise from the bottom of the barrel of cell dwellers against the power forward in the center up into the teens. They're up into the 17 and 18 against power forward and center. They're just not giving up a ton of fantasy production like they once were. You know, not a lot of scoring, not a lot of extra boards, because Nurk is just kind of helping them out in that specific, in that place. But the ownership leverage that you have with Anthony Davis is really, really interesting. You know, I think you have to think that in this matchup, Nurkic is going to have to body Boogie. I just think it's a better physical matchup for him. And then that means AD will probably get a combination of Al-Farouq Aminu, Myers Leonard, or Noah Vonleh. Vonleh is obviously the length matchup there. None of those guys worry me. I have no idea, though. I don't know how they'll match these guys up. You know, there could just be kind of a team defense approach to try to stop these guys. Vegas says this game's going to be close. I like that. Anthony Davis has averaged 63 against the Blazers this year. Of course, that is sans Nurk, but they're at home, you know, and this game is absolutely stackable, like we talked about. It's a little bit more GPP viable, but I also think it's a very viable pivot if you're going to pay for LeBron at that price. I don't think you're wrong necessarily saying Anthony Davis is the same range of outcomes. 50 to 60 points? Yeah, Anthony Davis is the same range of outcomes as LeBron. Okay, I mean, that's not crazy. So, you know, I think the difference is that there's probably a little bit more variance with Anthony Davis, whereas the security of LeBron is just so, so very, very clear. At center, we've got Boogie Cousins at 9K. God, he's just so underpriced, guys. I mean, one of these games, just like the whole Steph and the whole Jimmy thing, he's going to break out of this pricing. He's still DeMarcus Cousins. He's still an all-pro, all-NBA center. I don't know if that's tonight, okay? But let's be clear about what's been happening with Boogie. He's hit 40-plus in 5-9 games from arriving from New Orleans, okay? Fine. That's fine. That's good. All right? He's going to be low-owned, and he's not going to fit in a lot of people's lineups because they're going to be trying to squeeze in Russ or Braun or both or Steph. I think you easily differentiate by looking at Boogie here or Brow here. It's a really nice way to pivot and change the lineup construction for you. And I, you know what? 40-plus points is definitely in the cards for Boogie in this situation. I don't, you know, it's a high-scoring competitive game. And if he gets full minutes, then Boogie Cousins can get you a double-double, you know, with 20-plus points. And that is not, I'm not speaking crazy by saying that that's you know, viable for GPPs. He's going to go lower owned, and that really makes a difference. Okay, let's move into the mid-tier here of grout guys, where we're looking at that 5 to 8.5 range, trying to find in some guys to fill in around our studs, the first of whom is Jrue Holiday at 7.7. Holiday, he's been good in plus matchups, like rock solid in these plus matchups against teams like the Hornets and the Lakers. He's had excellent games. It's hard to predict when he's going to produce, and last week I missed one. Against Toronto, I thought for sure that he might be able to take advantage of Kojo. Not the case. You know, but I think what we have to look for him is his upside via assists. In those games when he has scored high numbers, it's because he's had double-digit assists. Here's the downside. That's really not a thing against the Blazers. So as much as I like Jrue again in a, you know, a pace-up game against the Blazers, and I think he's GPP viable because he's still Jrue Holiday and he's still really well-priced and he still has 40-point upside and he's facing a pretty poor defensive team in the Blazers, they allow a ton of scoring, but they don't allow a ton in peripherals to the guards. Huh. I mean, they are top three in fewest assists allowed to the guards, but while they're bottom five in most points allowed. You know, and that kind of makes them, that puts them in the bottom 10 in DVP to the point guard. But, you know, I think if Holiday, it's like I talked about this with Randle last night, Julius Randle. I said, if you want upside from Randle, you need him to be in a plus rebounding matchup. Well, against Denver, who's the best rebounding team in the league, that's not a plus rebounding matchup. And what did he do? He went 3X. You know, and I think for Jrue, we have to understand this isn't necessarily a plus assists matchup for him. So I don't know necessarily that I'm going to go to Jrue, but I think he is in play, especially if we get cancellations of those games in New York. You may have to look at him as a little bit of a little bit of a pivot here from some of the higher priced guys. So just got a push notification from Fantasy Labs. Thunder's Nets is scheduled to play despite the weather. They're going to monitor Pacers Knicks. So the Brooklyn game is on Brooklyn on as of now. We'll see. But we'll see about Pacers Knicks. We'll find out more about that. So should be a 4-game slate at the minimum here so far. At shooting guard, Victor Oladipo. Depot at 5'9", he seems healthy, man. He's bounced back in two really, really tough matchups. 30 points in the last two games against tough opponents in the Spurs and the Jazz, getting full minutes. Clearly the back is not bothering him, doing his normal Victor Oladipo routine of, you know, 15 points, rebounds, assists, you know, just kind of, you know, nice balanced performances. Brooklyn is not a tough opponent against the shooting guard. Okay, let's be clear. Bottom three in DVP to the position. He should easily see production here. Plenty of scoring opportunities. Plenty of rebounds, assists in this pace up matchup. You know, no question that Oladipo gets himself some good run in this game and an easy opportunity for production. I think the concern that you have is minutes. If there's a blowout here, then, you know, are you going to get full minutes from Oladipo? I don't think they're going to force it with Oladipo, considering the depth that they have at the position between Abrines and Doug McDermott. If his back is, you know, still a concern and they're winning this game handily in the third quarter, I could easily see Oladipo being one of the first to go sit on the bench just to get him a little bit of extra rest, him and Steven Adams. But, you know, hey, that's all theoretical. That's all guesswork. And who knows? You know, the Brooklyn, we do know Brooklyn has been playing better. They've been scoring over 100 points in a lot of these games. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But that's just what I'm speculating as concern. But 5'9 is a very interesting price, and I don't think a ton of people will be on him because there's a lot of value. At small forward, it's Paul George at 8'1". Paul George, this is important to know. This is like one of those down the stretch type things, right? There's a couple things to know about down the stretch here, what players are doing and what teams are doing, because their strategic approach matters. Like, are they trying for a playoff spot? Are they trying to do player development? Are they punting? Are they just absolutely giving up on the season and just trying to see what assets they have? Are they trying to make sure guys don't get injured? Are they, you know, looking for a contract? Are they, whatever the case may be, these kinds of things affect the way players are playing and they affect the way coaches are making decisions. Paul George is in this basket right now. He's in me first mode, and here's why. You know, the Pacers are still in the playoff hunt, right? They're still in that sixth seed. They still, you know, have a decent schedule ahead of them where they can keep that product. They can keep that sixth seed. They're not going to give up on the season. They're going to make a playoff push just to kind of give the fans in Indiana something to like, something to promise Paul George, to show him a little bit of a future there. He needs to try and get his numbers up so that he can be all NBA. And I know this is very selfish, but it's true. He needs to be all NBA. And if he gets all NBA, then Pacers can offer him one of those massive player protected deals that is part of the new CBA, where they try to keep players in certain markets for loyalty purposes. It's like even more than a max deal of tons of guaranteed money, $200 million something, you know. And I mean, I guess even though he probably wants out and wants to be in a better situation, if you're staring at a difference of $50 million in free agency versus staying in Indiana, $50 million is a lot of freaking money. It's a real good reason to live in Indianapolis. So it's something to consider. And I think that you can see Paul George's mindset here in the production. I mean, he's really hitting 40 pretty regularly, 43, 44 points in these last couple games. So I have no star issue with Paul George against this terrible Knicks defense. None whatsoever. Doesn't matter to me that he's on the road. The Knicks are just bad defensively, and Paul George should be able to do what he wants and be able to get the scoring and the peripherals that he needs to continue to pursue all NBA. And hey, 5X seems very reasonable from Paul George at 8-1. So at power forward, there's a couple options down here today, guys. Lots of different choices here. Obviously, at the top, you have Draymond. And Draymond is in a good spot at a good price. He already had 43 points against the 76ers this year. They are terrible in the front court. We know that they can't rebound. We know that, you know, Julius Randle just put up a massive game at the power forward against them the other night, 40 points. Draymond is in a very interesting position here. I have no problem with Draymond Green in this spot. But I also have no problem with Dario Saric. And then you even have Kristaps Porzingis is in consideration and Enes Kanter. So let's talk about them all. Draymond, if he falls to you, go for it. You know, I think that that's very interesting. But I'll break down Dario. Dario has just been a beast lately. Okay, ever since he's given the keys to do what he wants since the All-Star break, since they shut down Joel Embiid in 30-plus minutes, he's only had two games below 20 points. He's had six games over 35 points and twice over 40. We're talking about 10 games here, okay? This is a guy who's been, we're talking about 10 games. This is a guy who just, he does a lot of things. He scores. He does the rebounding. He does the assists. He's active. He's moving. You know, he's stuffing the stat sheet. And you really like Dario Saric. The problem that I have is now his price is a little bit up. He's up to 7.7. 7.2, 7.4, give me all the Dario. 7.7, okay, now we're looking at you got to get closer to 40. You know, when you're closer to 35, I'm good with that. When you got to get closer to 40, it's a little bit of a concern. And it isn't the Lakers that he's playing. Okay, this is a much better defensive team. But the pace is excellent. He's already got a good matchup here against them. He's going to see plenty of scoring opportunity with no Bob Covington in the lineup. I think Dario has a really nice game here. You know, and I think the other option, you go down to Kristaps Porzingis. He's definitely trending in the right direction. But I'm going to say the matchup is a stay away for me. He's struggled against the Pacers this year. Okay, Thad Young is you know, as bad as Miles Turner is in defense, Thad Young is that good. Thad Young has really locked down the power forward position there for them. He's limited the power forward to 33 points in the last five games. That's top five in the league for the last five. Top 10 in the league on the season. I'm going to let people chase Kristaps' recent production. You know, I think what's interesting is if we know Kristaps is playing the center, Then we have something that's really nice. But he's kind of shifting between the four and the five, and they're giving Hernan Gomez some center minutes. I'm not really sure how they're going to break it out. So Kristaps, I'm going to stay away. Let it be. I don't think he's going to necessarily go for 50 or 60 here against against the Pacers and Thad Young. So we'll see. But Kanter is one of my favorite options on the slate. We know Taj is in the lineup, but Kanter's that bench production, right? He's at a great price for a guy who's going to get some great run in production against a terrible front court. And he's priced only to hit 25 plus, 26 or 27 points. It seems very reasonable from a guy who we know has 30-point upside. You know, and down the stretch, if there is, you know, if this game is in control, they could really let Kanter get some extra run in this situation with the second unit. So I like Kanter at this price. I like Kanter for the 30-40-point ceiling here, 35-point ceiling, I think. You know, and I think you also probably have Al-Farouq Aminu in play. It's very, very possible. 5-2, you never get mad about Al-Farouq Aminu. You know, I think the problem is that how many rebound opportunities are there going to be in a very clogged front court situation where you have a Nurk, you have Anthony Davis, you have Boogie. You know, Al-Farouq Aminu as a four down there is going to definitely need to get some minutes. Just question how much production he's going to get. So at center, Miles Turner at 6-2 is going to be completely overlooked. You know, I don't think we should ever overlook centers against New York. They're really the bottom of the DVP, almost as bad as, actually, the bottom of DVP teams to the center are all on this slate. Philadelphia, New York, and Indiana. They're really all very bad against the center. He has a great history, though, against the Knicks. Miles Turner, even though he's been a little bit of a slump lately, he's averaged 35 points in three games against the Knicks. That's 6X, man. That's interesting. I like the lower ownership here. I like the possible upside against the Knicks in this one. Miles Turner, plenty of minutes, you know, 27 to 32 minutes in every game recently. So, you know, Turner is not a bad option at 6-2 at all. I just think that, you know, you could easily lock in Zaza Pachulia as one of your easy, easy 5X against the 76ers because they don't rebound anything. All right, let's go into the bargain basement here. We've got Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith at point guard. If I knew who was going to start, I would love to start one of them against Kyrie Irving. Jackson has been getting his minutes back, which is good. You know, he's at 30 points and at 5-2. You know, 30 points at 5, that's great. 6X, you know, 30 minutes. You know, he's had this nice regression moment. So don't sleep on Reggie Jackson. I just think the price for Ish Smith is also very reasonable considering how productive he's been off the bench. So, you know, you don't feel bad about either of these guys necessarily. I think if you really want some more security, you probably go for Jackson over Ish because, you know, Jackson we know is going to get the start and he's been trending in the right direction. So maybe you go with Reggie Jackson and you cross your fingers. But point guard is loaded too. You can just spend up at point guard tonight. Shooting guard is a great place to spend down. You have so many freaking inexpensive options. You have Courtney Lee, KCP, you've got Timothy Luol-Cabarro, the Frenchman, Alan Crabb, Caris LeVert, the other Frenchman, and then Jamal, Crawford, that's the old guy, Jordan Crawford. Courtney Lee, 5-1, been really productive of late for the Knicks, getting plenty of minutes. We know he's on the starting unit for the Knicks. Great choice. KCP priced way down at 4-7. We have no problem targeting shooting guards against Cleveland. KCP's just been really kind of offensively, like not really doing a lot. 20 points or 7 points. That's not really my favorite range. Timothy Luol-Cabarro is like 100% in play tonight. Huge pace-up matchup. No Bob Covington. Cabarro has basically been taking all those minutes at the three. I love Cabarro at 3-7. It seems impossible to me that this kid would not hit value given the fact that he's probably going to get 30 minutes against a really high-paced team at 3-7. You know, I mean, just like you give this guy 20 to 30 minutes and he, you know, and he only needs 18 points. That he's still an NBA basketball player. He can get that done in so many possessions. So You know, no problem with Cabarrot here in this spot at 3-7. Alan Crabb, really productive of late, and he's been getting a ton more minutes. He's at 3-9. It's chasey because the bottom can fall out, and he could just stop scoring, and then it's over because he's very scoring dependent. So, you know, you could do Alan Crabb, no question. And then Caris LeVert, you know, I think that there's a little bit of a youth movement in Brooklyn right now. They're giving LeVert more minutes. They're giving Hollis Jefferson more minutes. They're kind of in that, like, let's develop these guys. I don't know why they've only been giving him 20 minutes lately, but they're, you know, they've been like, the vision in Brooklyn is just brutal. So, you know, Caris LeVert very much in play, but I think the last one on my list is Jordan Crawford coming in for the Pelicans. He just basically took Etuan Moore's job and has been just absolutely excellent. Three games, never under 20 minutes, two games with almost 30 fantasy points, and he's still min price. I mean, if you tell me that this guy is going to get 25 minutes against the Blazers and he's min price, I'll take it. You know, I mean, that's a really, really, really nice option. And I don't know if the news is out about Crawford just yet, but he's taken Etuan Moore's job. So I don't mind Jordan Crawford in this situation whatsoever. He seems offensively minded. And like I said, you know, he only needs 17 points to hit value. So that's fine. You know, that's easy. Let's do it. At small forward, there's two options that I really like here. Well, I think there's three options, really. You go down from Iguodala. Iguodala is fine at 4-9, absolutely safe. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is definitely in play. You know, that's a price play. But I think the opposite side of the ball is just as appealing in Roberson. Roberson at 4K. You know, small forwards against Brooklyn have been a thing all year. We know Roberson is going to get minutes. And when he gets minutes in a good matchup, he should be productive. Roberson is really not a concern for me. So, you know, I don't mind Andre Roberson. I always kind of feel like you take your Roberson, you know you're going to get over about 17 or more points, and you just kind of move on. So, you know, not a lot of risk with Roberson. That's the nice thing. At power forward, we already talked about Al-Farouq Aminu, absolutely in play, but also Rashawn Holmes at 4-5. Definitely in play, should be in a good matchup here against the 76ers with a really depleted backcourt, against the Golden State, a really depleted backcourt for the 76ers. So he should be getting plenty of run, you know, in a pace up game. And if it's a blowout, Holmes gets run down the stretch. You know, they don't push Okafor and Saric into the lineup. They'll let Holmes get some run down the stretch. So, you know, I think 25 minutes of Rashawn Holmes is basically a fantasy point per minute in this situation. He's been very productive of late. He's been very productive, you know, basically almost a 20-point floor, 18-point floor, more or less. You know, and if he gets a little bit of extra run, he has, he has upside and he's athletic. Previous matchup against the Warriors, he had 24 points. Now, that was partially because Okafor was in massive foul trouble, but don't mind it at all. And then at center, you got two options, really, as I see it. It's Zaza at 4-4, just seems like a 5x lock. You're asking Zaza for 22 points against the 76ers front court? I mean, give me a break. Dude has gotten 26 and 30 points in the last two games. You know, he went to Philadelphia last time and had 29 in 15 minutes. Like, are you kidding me? You know, that's two fantasy points per minute. That's because Philadelphia is so bad against the center. Just lock Zaza in and be comfortable with 5X. Just move on. But on the opposite side of the ball, if you want to get gonna get cute, you got a little bit of Jahlil Okafor, who's been productive, hitting 6X in his last two matchups. I hate Jahlil Okafor personally. Don't really trust him. He went to Duke. So he doesn't really need me to love him. Sorry. My Duke bias is going off because it's that time of year when I go, oh my God, Coach K, get off my television. Get away from my television. I don't need any more weasel faces in my TV. Take your rosy cheeks and your pointy nose and go back to Durham. Sorry, Duke fans. But that is that, man. That is where we're at for the player breakdown. Now let's go ahead and take a look at lineup lock. Okay, so I've got two lineups here for you, all right? Two lineups here for you, two options, and I'm going to start with a core. I've got the option number one is the no snow option, the no snow cancellations. That means the Brooklyn and the New York games are good to go, and we have option number two, which is the snow games option. So in general, I think that I am locking in the following guys, okay, across these lineups, and I'll start at the bottom. I've got Zaza, Rashawn Holmes. I really like Crawford and Cabarrou, okay, as some value guys. Then I'm toying with it from there, but I think that there's a lot of really good value, and those kind of values, those are my four value locks. And at a slate where you've got really, really good studs and really good situations, it really feels like this is a Stars and Scrubs night. Now, Stars and Scrubs is really, really, really going to be common because there's a lot of value out here. So I think the balanced lineup is a really good way to differentiate yourself, get yourself some exposure to Paul George, Klay Thompson, you know, some of these mid-price guys. And you basically hope that the bottom falls out for some of these value guys, and then you're sitting pretty. So balanced is the way to differentiate yourself. But for me, I think Holmes, Pachulia, Crawford, and Cabarrou are way too interesting for me to pass up. All right, now listen to this. This is the snow lineup. This is the no snow lineup. This is sexy. Okay, this is crazy how you could fit all these people in here viably. Russ, Steph. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, I got both of them. Okay. Russ and Steph, Cabarrou and Crawford. Said them, they're already in play. Just tons of minutes, basically min price. Roberson, fine. Braun. What? Sean, you got Russ, Steph, Braun in the same lineup? Yes, I did. And it doesn't even really get bad after this. Aminu, Holmes, and Pachulia. That's crazy, man. You're going to fit all these guys in there? Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry, and LeBron James all in the same lineup. And then, like, the punt plays are viable for a lot of reasons. One being they're either going to get clear minutes, they're part of a rotation, we know what their role is, or they're priced in such a way that they really can't hurt you that badly, so long as they get on the court. Like, Cabarrou and Crawford are priced in such a way that if they get 20 minutes, which they're bound to get 20 minutes in this situation, they can't really hurt you that badly. Cabarrou is going to get way more than 20 minutes because they just don't have, you know, he got less. Let's see. In the Lakers game, he got 33 minutes, I think it was. He got 27 minutes. He got 33 against the Clips. No Cove in the lineup. You know, come on now. Let's go. Now, okay. If we have snow, this is the snow lineup. Okay, you pivot from Westbrook to Lillard. All right, that's fine. Pivot from Westbrook to Lillard. You still have Steph, Crawford, Cabarrou. You still have Braun. Then you make a couple changes. You still have Holmes and Pachulia, right? But at small forward two, you have Marcus Morris, who just kind of is a fill-in. He just kind of falls into place. And you have Dario Saric at the power forward too. So the changes there really are you trade out Westy and you pick up Damian Lillard, Marcus Morris, Dario Saric. Which, that's a little bit more balanced, man. And that's really not a bad lineup either. Okay? Now, very, very viable. Very viable to take Russell Westbrook at the top and Zaza Pachulia at the bottom, who are two of the best matchups on the slate, and then fill in mid-tier guys all the way through. To be completely honest with you, it's absolutely viable. Get some Clay, get some CJ McCollum, get some Paul George, maybe get some Dario and some Enes Kanter. I mean, that balanced lineup is real sexy as well. I mean, this is the lineup construction here is really interesting. So that's what we got, guys. That's where we're working with. You know, take the ideas, run with it, get creative. It's an interesting night. You know, hey, play carefully tonight. You know, it's a weird night. You know, the combination of weather and lots of punt plays on the board, it may just be a GPP night. But at the same time, remember, I mean, guys, on GPP nights, people still win 50-50s and double-ups. People are still winning in the triple-double. There's still money to be made out there. So don't sleep on your normal game selection here just because, you know, it's a little bit weird slate. You know, don't be too afraid of your normal game selection. I know I haven't really decided how I'm going to break out my money. I'm definitely going to have, you know, kind of a multi-lineup approach. I'm going to talk to my man, Josh Fern. Hey, if you haven't listened to Fern's DFS Chats episodes, check those out, please. Fern did the strategy episode that he did on Monday, just top notch. The dude, he does these very clear, you know, remember, this is, I'm a former teacher. Josh is a current teacher. Just Josh explains it really well. Go check it out. He's a really interesting about hedging and how to diversify game selection and figure out how you can put your money safely into one situation and, you know, protect your ass on the other side. So listen to that DFS Chats episode. It's on Josh Fern's timeline. And hey, good luck in your contest tonight and keep an eye on the weather, my friends, and we will see you tomorrow.